family businesses. If you think about it, ones that have done really well. You have the Gatti's ice cream, for example. You've got Pick and Pay. These companies show that you can, as a family, run a business quite successfully. And there is something to be said for it. I mean, you tend to trust the family members more than total strangers. Your family benefits directly from the hard work in the business. So you've got a common vested interest. These are all positive things, right? But you also have your downsides in a business like this. Just because you're family, and you will know from your family probably, you don't always see eye to eye. Now, this could affect the tranquility in the family and the business environment. So how should a family-run business operate without breaking up the family or the business or both? And to talk you through this, Gary Palmer, CEO of Paragon Lending Solutions. Gary, good morning.
Good morning, Ken. Good morning.
Good having you on the show. First of all, what does Paragon do? It says lending solutions. And why have you taken an interest in this particular issue in the first place?
Firstly, thanks for having me on the show. Paragon is a finance company which focuses on all forms of debt. So we finance transactions, businesses and property deals on a short to medium term. And then for much larger transactions over a longer term, we originate them to our network of 117 lenders. So the reason I've taken interest in this is because I've been in lending since 2002, and I saw a trend probably over the last 2 years when I look at our book. And interestingly, a trend developed whereby a lot of transactions were taking stress, and that's, and I was interested to see why. Was it the market? Was it the quality of the assets? What was it? And something popped out where I noticed that it was actually a breakdown in the relationship between the shareholders. The assets were good, the businesses were good, and then it was actually when there was fighting. Then the relationships between parties that may be friends or have met through various businesses, but I suppose the worst is when it's actually family members that are feuding. Because when family members feud, normally, you know, there's collateral damage of a split in the family. So it's not just that particular relationship. What we saw is a breakdown in communication and the collateral damage of the children, the grandchildren, the cousins. And so I took an interest in that and tried to analyze, as a lender myself, what do we put in place to ensure that if there is a feud, that the deal itself and the transaction itself and the business itself still can continue. And also, you know, you don't really want to see family members splitting.
So what did your numbers actually show? Did it show that the businesses that took the most stress were actually family-run businesses?
Yeah, so we operate in the market, not necessarily the listed companies. We operate with entrepreneurs. And normally those entrepreneurs, that starts off where there are partners. So very few deals with the individuals. Normally there are partners. So our target market is certainly in Cape Town, as an example, are family-run businesses.
Okay.
So, and we deal with, you know, the auditors and the attorneys that specialize in this area. So that's where, you know, I drew a lot of my conclusions from.
So there are positives, obviously. Let's run through some of the positives, then we'll talk about some of the pitfalls before we even provide those solutions. So let's start with the positives very briefly, yeah?
So the positives are exactly what you said. The positives are trust. You know, so if you get this right, and you mentioned Pick and Pay and a lot of others, you know, there is a lot of trust. You know, families do, you know, get closer together, and but you know, it has to be well managed, because normally, you know, when you've got people starting the business together, that's fine. Then the complications arise where, for example, their siblings and their children, and somebody passes away, and then the shares get left, you know, to you know, one of the children, as opposed to, you know, the cousins, as an example. So, when it's well managed and you manage expectations up front, then it can work perfectly. It can work better than if it's the normal partners, if you get the families, you know, right, especially in the examples you gave.
Yeah, if you Jeff Bezos, on the other hand, you lose half your wealth. How does one then... You know, what do you put in place to make sure that you don't have to cross that particular bridge?
So I think what you find is when people start a business, you know, they're so eager to get the business going, to get sales underway, that they forget about documentation, is managing expectations up front, you know, and you do that in shareholders' agreements. So many of these sort of arguments I've seen, you know, I say, well, let's revert back to the original founding documents of the business, and that's the shareholders' agreement, as an example, or the memorandum of incorporation. Let's start with that. So in that document, in those documents, it covers key issues. Those issues are, for example, dividend policies, whereby, you know, a person, you've got one side would say, well, let's not declare dividends or pay out anything because we need to grow the business. But the other side of the family said, well, we actually need the money, so I want dividends. So it covers, for example, dividend policies. So that's point number one. Also, I would say, what happens in case of death if one of the parties pass away? That's where you see that, for example, the Gucci family. Now, that's where you saw that empire really fall because of, you know, one of the father passed away, left it to the children, and then it got left eventually to one of the South grandchildren, and it didn't work. So what happens is, and I've seen it successfully, is that they put in the agreement that should, you know, one family member pass away, then automatically those shares come up for sale to the existing shareholders.
So, you know, the shareholders agreement, the roadmap ahead, identifying the potential pitfalls is essential to saving the business. So, Gary Palmer, thank you very much for that.